Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Hey, we're playing the music in the background. Yes, here we are. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and we don't have a guest at the top of the show. We have our guest scheduled for next hour, and what a guest we're going to have. Oh my. Miche Fambro is one of these larger-than-life characters. Once he opens his mouth, you will understand. He has just been so inspirational to a lot of people, and he has been involved in TV. Gosh knows he's been involved in music. You'll be able to understand how much talent this man has when he spends time with us, and hopefully our chat room, which looks pretty lively so far, will be here so they can cheer him on, because he's got quite a busy plate this year. And we've got some busy things happening too. Gosh knows, great music to be sure. And as is the usual case, we like to start things off with something real classic. Yeah, that's usually been the case whenever we haven't had a guest at the top of the hour. So if there is a guest that is, then we start fresh, I guess you could say, the next hour. It's going to be a little different today. You'll see why. To start things off on the show, Horace Silver, Song from My Father, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Something. If you're not feeling better after hearing that song, something wrong with you, Haas and Pfeffer. You know what I'm saying? I think you do. Al Jarreau and Mornin' from his Jarreau CD. You know how long ago that was now? 1983. Really? That was one of the songs that was a courting song when T's dad and I first got together. Not going to talk about that. We are going to talk about Al Jarreau. Listen, I want you to tell this 7-time Grammy winner what's up, because here he is, 72, thinking he's 25, having a schedule that would down most people. He did 4 gigs recently in Austria, got tired, the tire developed into pneumonia, and then he got hospitalized, and now he's apologizing. Here he is, he's apologizing for some of the shows having to be canceled. I could put my hands around his neck. This strain of pneumonia going around is just killer. It's part and parcel of why our beloved Gibb brother is no longer with us. It's just really so sad to have lost Chuck Brown, then Donna Summer, and then Robin Gibb, all in a week. And I know that Robin rallied for a little bit. You can rally only so much if you have colon and liver cancer. But man, this pneumonia, and it's why I'm so serious about Al Jarreau. I just told one of our Facebook friends, Shannon West, who knows him and has his number, please call him. George Duke must have called him at this point, but Shannon has got to. He's got to listen to somebody to be aware of the fact that your body needs to recoup so you have the balance to get the energy to go out again. And he is intending to make all these gigs this year, so please keep him in your prayers. At this point, I'd even like him to go back to his master's degree. He has it in vocational rehabilitation, a.k.a. social work. It would just be good for him to stick around for several more years and do something else that he loves rather than drive himself into a corner with all the scheduling. But, all right, I'll get off my mom's soapbox. Melinda Ford, right before Al Jarreau, on alto and tenor sax on her CD, My Commitment to You. Just amazing. That song was I Told Jesus, which is a traditional song, and Stanley Turrentine had it on his Salt song many years ago. The arranger on that particular number back then was Umir Diodato, and Melinda, having been raised in church in Virginia, just turned that thing out, didn't she? She is also the person who has her own master's degree in music education, and she's teaching in and around the area. We don't hear enough from her, honestly, and I'm going to make it a point to let her know that. Melinda, M-E-L-I-N-D-A, Ford.com, has more information. She just is a trip. She was on Cool Jazz Conversations about a year ago, played the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, and just completely tore the roof off. And you can tell that she really gets into that saxophone. It's so refreshing to hear a woman who just throws caution to the wind and lays it all out. Love that. Horace Silver to start things off. Mercy Sakes Alive, song from my father. And I know to the uninitiated, when that song began, you thought, hey, how come that dude stole that Steely Dan riff? Oh, no, my friends. No, Donald Fagen and company borrowed heavily from Horace Silver. Song from my father, recorded in 1963. Just an inspiration for Horace because his dad was John Tavares Silver, Portuguese, and came from his roots to America, and Horace remembers uncle and dad being together playing guitar and violin and having these wonderful parties where family and friends came over, and man, that's a very cool childhood. Mom, meanwhile, was Irish and African American, so it's a pretty cool little mix. I love that when Horace took all of what he learned as a child and poured it into that piano. Man, is this a good CD. I was listening to this all weekend long. Carmel Jones on trumpet and Blue Mitchell trading back and forth on trumpet too. Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Teddy Smith on bass, Roger Humphreys on drums, and Junior Cook also on tenor sax on a few tracks. And I think that Gene Taylor, yeah, was on bass on some of the tracks, and Roy Brooks on drums. If these songs mean anything to you, I hope they do. Just making sure you know that Horace Silver is one of our living legends, still with us. He's going to be, what, this year, 80-something, 84? Man, and he looks good. He looks good, just craving what these legends who are still walking among us have to say about not only times then, but what they think about times now. It would just be fascinating. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy continues. Miche Fambro coming your way at the top of next hour. Can't wait to hear his input about the state of the world today. You're going to get an earful. In the meantime, Althea Renee, a superior flutist, as she calls herself, a soul jazz flutist, don't you know? And her give and take on summertime. Here we go. Thank you.
thoughts of sad. The other room she can master. She's a fluster.
Folks might be able to pick out that vocal right there. That's Boss Gags from 1971. One of my favorite Boss Gags tunes. Oh my gosh, does that song have meaning? From his stellar Moments CD. And man, some personnel on that particular CD, John McPhee, who you might know from Doobie Brothers fame, and also a very cool country rock group back in the 90s, Southern Pacific. John McPhee on there, and the Rita Coolidge Ensemble. Man, Rita Coolidge just turned 67 a few months ago, and Boss Gags. Let me tell you something. Let me hold that thought about Boss Gags, because I'm so excited about this. I just found out about this, I guess, a week ago. Yeah, I should tell you that Coke and Pete Escovedo are also on there doing percussion. You should know that. This particular album paved the way. You're beginning to see the outline of the Boz Scaggs that we came to know in 76 with Silk Degrees. But this was such a mind blower because, you know, here was a guy who came from Somebody Loan Me a Dime into this jazz groove. And now he's full tilt boogie back into a jazz groove. But moreover, he is doing his Dukes of September tour with Donald Fagen and Michael McDonald. Yes. And if you go to BozSkaggs.com, you'll hear all about it. Now, coming up on the 24th and 25th, Boz is going to be part of the Dylan Fest. Just Boz. Actually, there's going to be a whole lot of acts. You will trip when you see who's involved here, but it's full out homage to Bob Dylan, whose birthday is coming up in the next several days, and everybody just parties and has a good time for a few days. Boz Scaggs having his own say about wines, because I think that he and his wife are still very heavily involved with wines and dining. They might have something to say about what kind of stuff is going to be served. Who knows? Yeah, Downright Women. Love that tune. Also, Hubert Laws, that was the second song in the mix, flutist, piccolo man, saxophonist, over 40 years in the business, if you can believe it. He is 72 this year, too. Jazz, classical, et cetera, second of eight children. I think you know the name Ronnie Laws. Yeah, of course you do. Deborah and Eloise, and what you heard was Tierra de Pasión. Ow! From Bella Cinderella. And man, did he have the right personnel on this. Tamara Ruiz on piano, Joe Heredia on drums, Kevin Ricard on percussion. He just surrounded himself with some really cool folks. That was recorded back in 2000. Land of Passion, Tierra de Pasión. Althea Renee, we heard at the top from No Restrictions. Actually, a little story to tell you. You need to find out what's happening with Althea by going to jazzandpink.com, because Gail Johnson and the crew are doing some really cool dates this year, and it seems to be picking up. I got to tell you about this. This is one of those cool stories. Facebook, people may decry it in some ways, and there might be some negatives on it, but let me tell you how it works positively. There is a gentleman named Hap Carpenter who called me last week, and he said, Trish, you don't know me from Adam, but here's what I have to tell you. He said, we know somebody that we gave a business card to. American Airlines called me, and Hap said, the only identification in this bag that belongs to a drummer is your business card and my business card. He said, so really, it's up to us to find this person. And we did. We put it out there on our Facebook pages. We were, you know, racking our brains thinking, okay, who got the business card within the past couple of months? And I thought initially it was the person I'm about to tell you. Sure enough, it was. It was Pocket Brown from Jazz in Pink, one of those incredible drummers, female drummers. She was at Burke's. All of the gals were signing things after their big date at Burke's on a Friday night. And Pocket was on the end and said, Trish, can I have one of your business cards too? And then Hap saw her at Seabreeze. So Pocket was going out of her mind because there was some major drum equipment in this bag. And if we had not found the person whose bag it belonged to, they were going to put this on auction in the next several days. Woo! So all's well that ends well. Isn't that a cool story? I just love that. Pocket Brown, we love you, and we love you, Althea Renee. I know she's listening. Yeah, still thinking about Boz Scaggs and the Dukes of September. Donald Fagen, Michael McDonald, and Boz Scaggs. That's crazy. Hey, let's throw another name at you, all right? How about Kyle Eastwood? And how about Miche Fambro coming up at the top of next hour? Really excited about this. And a lot of folks are in the chat room excited about it, too. Kyle Eastwood doing his thing. He just celebrated his birthday the other day. I really wanted you to hear this in case you hadn't, from Songs from the Chateau. This is Soul Captain. Yes, Daddy. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
You
that song is just nuts. It's just nuts. And let the record show that we played that song immediately after Stanley Turrentine, okay? Because I want Miche to know that we have done all this. Let me introduce this man. You have just heard his voice. A voice, by the way, that his good friend Matt says would steal any man's woman. I have to say that about this particular gentleman, and I told him this by way of the teaser for Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy in regard to this show. If there was indeed a love child of Dick Van Dyke, Nat King Cole, Johnny Carson, Jimi Hendrix, and Peter, Paul, and Mary, it would be this guitarist, songwriter, TV host, and vocalist extraordinaire. I'm talking about Miche Fambro.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. That was the perfect response for all of that.
Wow. Geez. Okay, so everything is fine? You're not getting a delay or anything? It sounds fine? Because I'm in a car right in front of the Beers of the World.
And, oh, of course you are.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to go in there while we're talking and get me something to drink.
Listen, now, I should have told you this, that landline works best, but that's okay because I trust your judgment. If you want to go into what is it called again, Miche?
Well, this is Beers of the World. It's kind of near Wegmans. I had to go in Rochester to for some meetings and stuff like that, and I figured I would just kind of park someplace that has good reception. So where I'm at is like Wegmans, and I understand you really like Wegmans, don't you?
I really do. Please tell them that I send my 100% approval because they really did a great job in Hunt Valley, Maryland, which you're a little familiar with, by the way, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I lived there for, I guess, 5 years.
5 years?
And,
really? That long?
5 years. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And here we are. You know what? We're doing this on Sue Carlin's birthday.
Oh, boy. Happy birthday, Sue.
Isn't that crazy?
Sue, that is crazy. Sue and I, we go back to the Stone Ages, I like to say. And I live, I'm from Philadelphia, as you know, which is, I understand, your hometown?
Of course it is, yes.
Okay, and I ended up in a little town called Geneseo, which is upstate New York, and Sue lives not too far from where I live, a little town called Livonia, and we met way back then, and we used to go out and see a lot of music together, and anyway, so she moved to Baltimore, and when I lived there, she was introducing me to the whole scene there. And anyway, happy birthday, Sue.
Yeah, she is really tickled. Did you see what she said on her Facebook page? She said, "This is the best birthday present ever."
Well, that's great. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you, and I have to tell folks who are listening, Miche, honestly, you sent me this stuff that I had never heard I was going to do. Three tracks from Cafe Vignette, and you sent me these new tracks, and I was so stunned. I really am, because you've been holding back on me, bro.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, one of the things, and I got to thank, Sue for this. Sue's kind of the conduit in everything, but I pretty much spent a lot of time as a, I guess you'd say, a folk musician. When you play the guitar and you play solo, by default, that's what you are. When I was coming to the Maryland area, and I was certainly very close to D.C., I knew that it was a jazz town, and I thought, oh, geez, I better start embracing that side of things. So there was this place in Indianapolis, I can't think of the name of the place, but every Tuesday, Charlie Bird, may he rest in peace, his brother. Yeah, and so I would go down there, and I started embracing the jazz world. And it was so much fun, and I loved it. So that's when I basically, started delving back into that side of myself. The thing is I don't really have any recordings of myself in that vein. The closest thing that I have would be actually a Christmas record.
The record
that you have, Camus, which was probably released just maybe a month ago.
Really?
It's very new. The gentleman who put that out, Kim Kapfer, he lives in Syracuse, and this is a project he had been working on for years. And let me tell you, this was not an easy thing for me to do. And the reason why that was the case is because if you're comfortable doing what you're doing, then, of course, you're comfortable, as I've stated. But it's another thing when you're working with a producer, somebody that has specific ideas in terms of, you know, what they want. And so he really beat me up good. It was quite a challenge for me to give him what he wanted. And some people, their egos won't allow them to try that. But I embraced the challenge, and I think I benefited a lot from it. I learned a lot from him, and I'd work with him at the drop of a hat.
Well, I'm telling you what, he brought out something in you, because I had been used to you, as many people have had, you know, were used to you, in this very comfortable, folky, acoustic mode, and I've heard glimpses of this Fambromania that I know is about to unleash. And when I heard Hear the Voices for Mary, that's the first track you sent, that's the one we just played, I went, get out of town! There he is! There he is! So I want you to hug that man for me.
Okay, Kim, if you're listening, you get a hug.
Man, that's you. There are so many facets to you, it's just not fair for the rest of the mortals walking, Miche.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, you know, I'm eating this stuff up. I'm an old guy. I take what I can get. Tell me more.
Listen, I have said this for years, and I've told folks in the chat room, which, by the way, consists of, oh, what a shock, Matt Williams.
Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, listen, I'll do one better for you. You know, he's chomping at the bit to say hello, so here he is. Okay, Matt, you're on.
Hey, Mick.
Hey, man, how are you?
Well,
don't you love the new world? I can't believe this. We're talking to each other. Cool.
I know. How about
it? It's amazing. Technology. Hey, who would have thunk it?
Yeah. Well, congratulations on your tour, Matt.
Yeah, you know I'm not going.
Really? Oh, we'll talk about that, man.
What tour?
He was going to go to Europe, to Italy and all those places.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't fly, so they'll be going by themselves.
Oh,
yeah.
Matt, are you kidding?
It's terrible, isn't it?
Can't somebody sedate you?
Well, yeah, that's a friend of mine said the same thing, but no, not yet. I'm thinking about trying to get hypnotized to go. Maybe.
Hey,
maybe
look, I'll volunteer to knock your lights out if you'd like.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, really, come on. You know what? You're going to be like 70 someday, going, doggone it, I should have gone.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's hey, I'm not here to talk about me. Hey, Miche. I'm telling you, meeting this guy for the first time, you know, I keep going back to that. I was floored. That's all I can say. You know, and I knew I would be. That's the thing. I wasn't surprised that I was floored. I actually knew I was going to be, but I guess you don't know how much it's going to be. It was a lot. I was talking about it forever, and I'm still talking about it. And Debbie told me to tell you hi, by the way. We're
hi,
both
Debbie.
Still talking about it. It's just amazing.
Well, let's be clear about this now. Let me get this straight, Matt. Where did you first learn about Miche, by the way?
Through you, by the way.
That's right.
Just checking.
Oh, yeah.
We were,
That's right. I was listening in on your show. I forget who the guest was. Let me think here. But anyway, Matt was in the chat room.
Yep.
And so I was asking Matt, I went to his Facebook page and I saw that he did video work. So I said, Matt, you know, I'm curious about your work. And he sent me a video that he did of Debbie Poole.
Yeah.
And I was floored, you know, with that whole video. And we became buddies ever since.
And you know what? It's just a marriage made in heaven, because two nerdier guys I don't know.
I'm telling you, it's like I've been knowing this guy all my life, I'm telling you, and I've only felt that way about one other person, and that's my cousin, a biological cousin who I'd met for the first time maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Speaking with him on the phone, it was like I've known him forever, and that's exactly how it was when I met him.
Further proof that, like, you know, family is not just blood.
Yeah.
Nope.
But on one other note, though, Trish, you can appreciate this. You know, when we do the next video, not this My Body one, but the something Corazon, the one that you really like, that Debbie did.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine Mache being in that video? So
he has
to be in this video, and I don't care how it has to happen. If we have to go to him, it doesn't matter.
Only if he wears the unbuttoned shirt down to his navel.
There you go.
Yeah.
The world has really changed. When you want to see a nerd button down their shirt, you just know.
Well, you know, you're so, you know, Matt, he's so distinctive looking. I love Miche's look so much, because I told T, I said, honey, you have never heard Ma use the word debonair. And this guy right here is debonair.
Yeah, suave.
He's suave.
Suave
and you know
Debona.
If you could get Matt a little close-up of Miche just like spitting a little bit into the microphone, that would be terribly sexy.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to
stick to close up of fingers and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We got it mapped out for you, babe.
Yep.
All right. I'll take note.
Hey, see you on Uvu.
Oh, yeah.
They've never heard of it. Can you believe it?
Yeah, we didn't know in the chat room what the heck he was talking about. And I thought, okay, it's just you and Miche doing Uvu back and forth. Nobody else knows what the hey you're saying.
No, I thought I was pretty, you know, kind of fairly savvy at this stuff until I met Matt. I mean, he's like light years ahead of me, you know, with all this technology stuff. So there's so much to learn, but it's cool.
Well, you make plans for that, Matt. You get the scenario all together, because this Corazon song has to be really, really hot. And to make it hotter, you have to have Miche in it.
Yeah, and you.
Well.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
I can do percussion in the background.
I had a joke, but I'm not going to say it.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Tell Debbie we said hello, and we're sorry she missed it today.
I will.
Great talking to you, Matt.
You too.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Miche, look, you don't know. I mean, we've got a full house today in the chat room, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
How do you feel? I mean, how long have you been singing, and where are you now in the way of what you want? Because there's a gazillion things I want to ask you, but we haven't had this chance, and I've been trying for a while. There's just so much to know about you, the TV show, what you've done, what you're going to do. This year is getting to be pretty full. Tell me all of it, soup to nuts. We're listening.
Well, okay, here's the story, Trish, and this is really kind of interesting, and that is that, okay, how long have I been singing and all that? Things for me really started in my late 30s. And it's really kind of weird. So I guess you could say things started late. Now, why is that? Part of it is I've always played the guitar. It wasn't that I wanted to be a guitarist or a musician. It was just, again, I admit I am a nerd. It was something to do around the house. I didn't really go out and play like my brother did. And so my folks, my stepdad was not a big fan of my singing. He basically thought that Mick, stick with the guitar, Mick. You know, just stick with the guitar. So, so when I was home, I wouldn't do anything. You would always, you know, hear like, if you would, you know, be so inclined to do a little dance move or sing something, there was always, you know, mom or dad or somebody that would make some kind of funny remark, make fun of you. And so I didn't start doing anything until I left, got out of the house, because there was nobody around to make fun of me.
Wow.
And I think, in all fairness to them, you know, my stepdad, for example, it's possible that he was just sarcastic, you know.
Yes,
but
yes.
I don't think that kids don't, they don't get sarcasm, you know.
That's right, yes.
Sarcasm just sounds like you're being mean. So in all fairness, you know, maybe that was it. And I would say that it took me 1,000 years before I realized that my stepdad was a funny guy. He was just sarcastic. So, you know, there he is, you know, on his deathbed, and, you know, walk over, you know, you were a funny guy. And, you know, he laughed, and then he died. But,
oh, bless his heart.
So I guess I got the last laugh. But, yeah, you know, that's pretty much, you know, how it all started. And then the whole thing with the age, you know, thing, which I think is, I'm totally fascinated and I'm grateful for it. And what I'm talking about is when you reach a point in life when you just recognize that, you know what, I'm just going to do anything and everything that I can. I don't feel inhibited or uninhibited.
Yep.
You know, it's just whatever, you know, I felt like I would want to try to do, I would just go ahead and do. And a part of that was giving up the notion of, okay, let me restate that. Having the ability to make fun of yourself, you know, when you recognize that, okay, so I'm not a cool guy. All right, then let's work with that. Peter Gabriel, most of us have heard of Peter Gabriel.
Yes.
And one of the bits of advice that he gave me via some criticism many, many years ago, and it took me years to understand what he was saying, and that was this. He heard a record that I did. I had a pop band called Miche and the Anglos, which was a band that was popular in the Rochester area, first time I'd experienced being in a popular band. And he heard a record that we did. And he had a record label, so he was looking for entertainment. So he heard a record that I did, and it got back to me in writing that pretty much what he said was to the person who was my manager at the time. He said, you know, this guy, he's really got a lot of potential. You know, you can tell that he's got something, but he says he has to learn how to focus on his idiosyncrasies and expand on them.
Huh.
And you know, it took me a long time to understand, you know, what that meant. And what I took that to mean was basically you really focus on who you are, whatever it is, big or small, and you just go ahead and flaunt it. You know, so for example, you know, I'm not a cool guy, so I'm going to really not be a cool guy. Or I'm not, you know, exceptionally you know, I'm going to get into the however you look. If you don't look like a star, well, great, then I'm going to really look like I'm not a star. Just exaggerate it. And when I was able to do that, when it was okay to not be all of these, the things that we all think that we should be, particularly if you're in the entertainment business.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe you become, quote, good looking when you don't really try to be. You give up trying to, you know, it's hard to explain, but it was just
freeing. I completely get it. You have this self-deprecating wit about you, and I know that sometimes folks have gotten a little bit in your face about it, and sometimes I've even thought about you that you have so much of that you really don't know how multi-talented you are. But then you also project that you're so sure about who you are that I have seen you absolutely floor a room. When people get you, they get you so big that it's insane that you don't have your own talk show at night on a major network, because you just are able to entertain a swath of different kinds of people. You can be kind. You can be warm. You are so funny that it's crazy. But you are uniquely you, and that's why I said in that teaser, there is no one like you. No one.
Well, I'll say one thing. I do a great mache.
You do.
That's what I know how to do.
Yes.
And, you know, again, it was one of those things where going back to, I was talking about my dad, where, so if he said, for example, that, hey, you know, you're not a great singer, you know, I don't like your voice or whatever. So that would have to be relative to what? And, you know, who were we all listening to on the radio back then? Well, that would have been David Ruffin, you know, Eddie Kendricks, Stevie Wonder. Who the heck sounds that great? I mean, you know, I knew that, you know, I couldn't do any of that, you know. But there were other things that I could do. And for me, singing to me has always been kind of a more of a, like, character acting than it was really singing. Most people don't have any problems doing voices, you know, making silly voices, doing impersonation of cartoons and whatnot. And for me, you know, that was what I was able to do. And when I was able to, I mean, I found myself saying that, you know, I'm not a good vocalist, but I do a good impersonation of one. And so for me, it was all character play. You know, you just kind of pretended that you were these things, and that's where the voice or voices, if you will, that's where they came from. You know, so you just assume these characters and you play. And, you know, so many people don't realize that they can do that if they look at it that way. It's one thing to try to be a good singer. It's one thing to just go ahead and play the character, you know. And most people do this in their shower and in the car, but they never think to do it on stage.
Well, but meanwhile, you may say that, but you really do wrap yourself around a song. This is not to say that you do the character acting and it's devoid of sincerity, because honestly, I've seen a couple of YouTubes recently where people have talked about you as if you were the second coming of Jimi Hendrix, in the way of your playing and in the way of you being such a unique talent vocally. And then, my gosh, after hearing these few songs that you've given me in the past few days, I'm floored, because this is another facet of you. You seem to now, after all this time, be growing in this other direction. I'm excited about this.
And to think that I'm in my 50s. Don't you love that?
Oh, listen, honey, I know about it. I'm going to be 60 this year. I embrace it. I'm taking it and running with it.
It's so great. You know, I think that, I mean, I'm all for, there's just something, I guess when I was a young man, you know, it seemed like that once you were 30, it was over. And and now it's just so different. It's energizing. After all these years, I'm having so much fun. I feel energetic, mostly. and the great thing about with age means that you can actually enjoy most of this stuff and take it for what it's worth, instead of letting it do some of the not so great things that it can do to you when you're kind of young, and it's hard to handle you know, these things. So I feel very, very fortunate that I'm at an age where I can actually have fun now.
And Michel, there is so much. Honestly, I had this little vision, because it was deliberate to play Stanley Turrentine next to you and that breathtaking song we heard a little while ago. And I was thinking, honestly, you have such a persona. It's amazing to me that you haven't done this heretofore, but I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't happen to you soon. You need to be in a film biography of a jazz great. There's acting potential in you that is crazy.
Well, you probably know, the one thing that's going on right now, it's pretty exciting. I don't exactly know what all this means, but here's the breakdown. The breakdown is I teach guitar on an online site called Jamplay.
Yeah.
And somebody was on there, and they saw me on there, and they saw one of these videos where I'm actually talking or whatever, and they wrote me, sent me an email. It was an L.A. producer. I saw this email, and I read the line there, L.A. producer, and the first thing I thought was, this has got to be spam, you know? But it turns out that this was a legitimate guy, and he wanted me to, at first, he was putting together, he creates TV shows. He's a composer, so most of us have heard a lot of the things that he's done through the years. I mean, he's been in the business a long time. I mean, we're talking, if you remember Alvin and the Chipmunks, you know,
wow.
He was doing the music back then. You know, that's all him and up to, you know, modern to you know, stuff today. So the short of it is he really thought I had TV potential. So he invited me to L.A., and he put together a show that he's working on, and part of this was inviting his colleagues who happen to be these bigwigs. I mean, to give you an example, one of the people there was like the producer of whatever show that Betty White's in right now, and the new show that Cedric the Entertainer.
Wow.
Is going to be on. So this is to say that you know, this was quite an audience, you know, to perform for, and but it was just a little party, and so the short of it was, things went well. He was very happy with it. I was just nervous that he would be really happy. So I guess now what's going to happen is the way this whole thing works is you can have a show idea, but you want to have something that appeals to the networks. So he basically, we're sitting down together and we're coming up with a show, a format in which I could fit comfortably in. So we're actually creating a show that
get
would work.
Get out of here. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is big.
So we'll see. And, you know.
Wow.
It's exciting. And so I just thought I'd share that with you. That's
and, you know, I can just see you on one of these networks, you know, larger than life, staring into the camera saying, my name is Michelle Fambro. It means nothing to you. I realize that. But, look, I'm begging you, watch the show.
Okay, I'm going to quote you on that. I'm just going to credit. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because, you know, you have this thing about you. You look so charming, and you'll never it's so funny. There are some people, no matter how you dress them up, they're always going to look a little trailer parky. But with you, even if we dressed you down, you're always going to look like the Mercedes-Benz of people.
I wish my mom was listening right now.
No, seriously. So, you know, you've got this whole making fun of yourself routine down, and you've got this deadpan voice, and it's sort of reminiscent of Letterman, far funnier than Leno ever could dream of, but that's a different story. You've just got this whole aura about you that draws people in. So I can just imagine you saying, hey, you know what, it means nothing to you, but it would mean everything to me, and it's a chance for me to feed my family.
Hey, maybe you want to write for me, Trish. You want to write for me?
Well, You know, you get to know you through the years, especially now since you're so self-revelatory, if that's a particular phrase on Facebook. So you get to know who people are. And shoot, now that you have this other thing opening up with your voice, holy cow, if you could do a whole Dean Martin variety show, Michelle, it would be awesome.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And you know, I would have to say that even though part of me, you just get used to over the years that you almost always just expect nothing. And that's not a bad thing, you know, to do, except I feel that, you know, you just keep working at something. And only thing that I know is I just never stop giving up. So something's going to happen sometime somewhere.
Wow.
And that's the goal. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it.
Yeah, just keep doing it. And now you were brought to this place in time. You've honed all these skills. You've got different kinds of music that you can delve into. And it's a good segue because you gave me a song that gave me a little tear because, you know, my mom's name was Rose.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So when I heard my Rose... there was a little tear in my eye.
Do you think your mom would like that song? It's kind of a weird song, huh?
No, but that's okay. My mom would have appreciated it.
Okay.
You know, she in 2009, she passed away at 98 years old.
Oh, wow.
So she would have loved it. She would have loved you. She would have loved you. But it's a whole nother side of the song we played at the top. So could we play it?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Now,
sure.
Is there any chance of folks getting a hold of the music that we play? Let's make that clear, too.
Well, yes, there is. My Rose, and I think you have I Like Loving You. I don't know if you
yes.
played that. Well, both of those are on my website.
Cool.
And that's michefambro.com. And the two Camus pieces... They're going to be on my site eventually, maybe later today, but they're also on Camus' website, which is Camu music.com. So you'll find those pieces there.
That's awesome.
And it would be really great because I feel very special about that project, not really just for me, but because I'm so excited for Kim Kapfer, who's on Facebook, by the way. And this is his first project, and I'm just so happy for him. You know, he did a great job, and he really helped me out a lot. I learned a lot from him, and I'm hoping that he really does well with this record.
Well, he must love you a lot and respect you a lot to push you because he knew what was inside of you that was just begging to come out because – The pieces from that project are so incredibly moving, and we'll play another piece, but this is something that's available right now. I want folks to hear this other side of you because didn't you call it a hybrid piece, you rascal?
Yeah, I did. I knew that you used to do country, and you were a country DJ, and I thought you would get a kick out of this.
It just goes to show you, if you are brilliant, you are brilliant, multi-genre-like brilliant. So here we are, Michelle Fambro and his little hybrid song here for you on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. It's called My Rose.
Another lucky night, everything played out right. My kind of sin, the sin nobody knows. I woke up, she was gone. Her scent lingered as I thought of home. She left a note saying, if you got time, I'll be back for lunch. Love, Rose. I think I write a song to pass some time. I just need to find a pencil or a pen. From a side table in a drawer, I found a book I just couldn't ignore. It's her diary with hello, love, goodbye, self-discipline. Ooh, I should have closed the drawer and left me, but there might be something about me. I guess I'll read my rules. The thing about Jim, I was shocked at things she did with him. That bastard was a good old friend of mine. Dave, Omar, and Mary Jane, Kinky Pete on the plane. I guess there's no such thing as crossing the line. Oh wait, I should have closed the drawer and left me, but there might be something about me. I guess I'll read my rose. Pages one by one, I'm stupefied by what she's done. I can't stop reading, it's driving me insane. One little book, a whole lot of pain, and I'm too angry to feel any shame, cause the devil's laughing at me. I never saw my name. Ooh, I should have closed the drawer and left me, cause there just ain't nothing about me. I can't believe, I guess I'll leave my rules. My rules. My rules. All the ones that are about to say. Oh.
Oh man, many things you are, Miche Fambro, but I never thought that you would be a modern day Marty Robbins. You know what? I'm going to be here in El Paso and El Paso City all day long because of that freaking song. I love it, My Rose. So cool.
Oh gosh, that was fun. I spent some time doing these folk conventions, and there's an organization called NERFA, and that's like the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance. So the organization is actually Folk Alliance, and there's regional ones for each different region of the country, and then there's the international one, which has usually been like in Memphis. And driving to Memphis, I thought, geez, you know, why don't I try to write a – there's something about being in Memphis, so I just – I got inspired to write, you know, a song. I was driving in the car, and I would sing with this twang. And, again, it was that character thing I was telling you about.
Right.
You know, so all of a sudden, you know, I ended up with this song, and that's where that came from.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny. And you're so good at them. I mean, I saw you in a clip, and You were holding court with a couple of other folks, and you just wanted to bust loose so much because there's so much inside of you in the way of impersonations and voices. My son and I do the voices around the house all the time, and
we
just amuse ourselves because, hey, look, I'm a Temple University theater person, so...
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I did, Shakespeare and comedy and the whole nine.
Oh.
So I have an extra appreciation of you because there's that in you. You've got so much to give, and it's this news it blows me away about the LA producer tapping into you. That is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter is responsible for bringing me to the theater, and which was we lived in Ithaca, New York, which is that's where the Cornell University is. And she was, well, basically, you know, theater was what she wanted to do. And she was the stage manager for a Shakespeare troupe. And they were doing the play Tartuffe. And she kept bugging me to do a reading. And I was very, very shy about, you know, public speaking or anything like that. But as a dad, you know, you feel like, you always want to tell your kids to you know, don't be afraid to do things and whatever.
Right.
And I felt like I had to just do it to be an example of what I would hope that she would do for me as I lecture her. So I did it. I never expected that I was going to get a part, and I end up getting a part. And the thing about Shakespeare, and in this case, Molière, there are really no small parts. That's the most verbose stuff you could think of, and there I was doing it.
Wow.
And so she pushed me through the whole thing, and to date, you know, she's I'm in Geneseo. She's the artistic director at a theater down there, and she's always, you know, getting me in there to in her productions. And she just finished up doing a thing called The Mystery of Edwin Drood, but this time she didn't get me to act. She just got me to do the orchestration, you know, for the music. She's really something. Not the easiest person to work for, but she's incredibly talented. And that's how I got interested, you know, in theater.
How about it? Mm-hmm. How about it? Child is father to the man, isn't that correct?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yep. It's more than just a blood, sweat, and tears album, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my gosh, That is so wild, and it's so funny. It's supposed to happen in increments like this. I mean, all of your journey, and it's been a pretty big journey for you, has led you to this point. You wouldn't have been ready for anything major before this. And now, you know, as you said, you've thrown caution to the wind. Hey, I might as well be me, because nobody does me better than me.
Right. Yeah.
God love you. Man.
Thank you.
So what would that mean? If this particular TV show, if everything works together, what would that mean? Do you get to stay where you are in upstate New York or what?
Well, you know, I'm flexible for whatever, you know, whatever has to happen. You know, part of me, you know, has you know, the thing where I've lived in the sticks for so long. I mean, I've left the city since you know, 77, and you know, I don't know. So my initial reaction is, you know, I certainly don't take very well the notion of actually urban living again, but you know, I could do it. You know, I could do it.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where, you know, boy, if you have enough money, any place is a great place to live. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a scenario where you have to live in a city proper. I mean, the outskirts, the burbs, or in a rural area. Shoot, I'm making plans for you. This is this is just amazing. What an opportunity, man! This was meant to happen to you, honestly.
You know, it's funny, now that I think about it, Trish, I have been looking at those photos that you post when you have like these homes and
yes.
apartments and houses. Some of those things look really nice.
See,
I guess anything where there's some green around, then I'm really happy. I just like green. I like trees, you know. I like seeing, you know, things. So I am going to live in a city, you know, as long as I can have a place can be a greenhouse as well, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, because you're right. People need to have the balance of living things around them, because you can't regroup otherwise. If it's just a concrete jungle where you are and there's no living things around you, then you begin to feel more dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have so many ideas floating around you. How many CDs have you had out now, Miche?
Officially, I have three. And, yes, it's kind of sad. Well, not sad, but basically what there is there's Cafe Vignettes, which is actually music and monologues. You know, so there's just stories about me traveling around the country playing in cafes. Another record, which is an interesting story, it's a record called The Chapel Session. And that record was something I put out. I wasn't all that excited about it, you know, at the time. But I felt like there was too much space in between putting out material, and I thought, I got to put out something. So I just put it out. And wouldn't you know that record got reviewed in Rolling Stone, a good review. And,
wow.
It's funny how that happens. So let me see. There's that. There's the Christmas CD. I feel like I'm missing something here. But those are the official CDs. I'm working on a record. You know, now this will be like my first real record, something that actually really showcases more of what I can do. I shouldn't sell short the records that I have, but these were things that I just kind of did on my own. Cafe Vignettes, I just recorded it in my house. Now, granted, you know, I'm certainly a nerd when it comes to editing and all these kind of things. And one thing great about the new world is, you know, home, you know, studios, and most musicians have, you know, home studios, and they do incredible, you know, work. And so I've, you know, I think I was pretty lucky where Cafe Vignettes, I think, sounds pretty decent for an independent record. But
yes,
I think
it does.
It's time to really put out something. The KMU record, the thing that came out of that for me that was really a test was what happens when you work with somebody that challenges you. And I wouldn't want to do a record without a producer, without somebody to really push you, because, boy, that makes such a difference.
It does.
And so hopefully I would like to put out a record, more of a jazz pop record, because I feel that that's the zone that I feel more comfortable vocally. And gosh, if I'm lucky, you know, maybe this year I'll get to put out, you know, my own official first jazz pop record. Wish me luck, Trish.
Oh, listen, you know what? No, I'm not going to wish you luck. I know that it's going to be blessed, and that's better than luck, because one comes from a certain place and the other comes from the other. But you really have inspired me to think about, since you were going to be on the show, mostly on the show there's male vocals, and I happen to think of these male vocalists because you are all of these people. I played Al Jarreau a little while ago. I played Boz Scaggs, and he also, I think of you when I hear Boz Scaggs sometimes. And that was the definitive, you know, for me, still in a way. You know, that's a whole nother blue-eyed soul thing going on there, but he's able to marry so successfully jazz and pop together. And, you know, I was thinking of Nat King Cole, and I know that there have been comparisons made between you and he, but the crooning capacity that you have in your voice, and then that sheer power that you demonstrated with these Camus sessions, holy shiggity, Miche.
Shiggity, I like that.
That is from a character that Tom Joyner uses, and I have to give Huggy Lowdown credit for that. But he says that all the time. And that's what I thought of. When you hear what you have done, and it's, you know, here's nice, how I get along with everybody, Miche Fambro. How y'all doing? Hey, take a seat. Take your shoes off. Sit down now. Y'all come back now here. When you get done that, and people love that, but then this other side of you that comes out that is almost operatic, it's crazy. You're
well,
like, by...
it's,
you know, it's like showbiz bipolar or something, you know?
Yeah, I guess I am kind of, you know, a bit schizophrenic. And I have to say, Trish, that's been kind of a curse. It's been a mixed thing. And when I say mixed thing, I mean, if you put it in terms of the live arena, you know, I think it's that's where it's much easier to appreciate. And I've always felt that a show in general, I've always liked the idea of a journey. The curse has been where promoters are concerned, where when somebody has to say, well, how do you describe this guy? Well, what is it that he does? And how do we market that? And that's been the one thing that's been the real problem for me over the last, you know, year. Nobody really knows, you know, really, you know, what to do. I've always thought that probably what happened was I didn't, and in other words, some people would say, well, you know, Mick, why don't you just do one thing and really focus on it? And just do one thing and do that. But, you know, for me, so much of this stuff was just so much fun. It just didn't make any sense for me to say, well, you know, I'm just going to do one thing. I'm not going to have fun with these other things. I was always hoping that, you know, if somebody came up and said, well, look, you know, we like that you do. Will you do that? And then my answer is, well, yes. But only until the last year or so has anybody responded to, you know, the things that I've, you know, have done. And so I'm grateful for that. And I don't know where it would I don't know what it's going to, what the outcome is going to be, but I think the fact that I've managed to struggle while having fun, it just makes this whole journey so much easier than the stress of just, you know, being miserable, you know, being bitter, you know, in terms of why aren't things happening, you know, and so it hasn't been easy being, quote, versatile. It used to be a good thing. I mean, that's what all the old guys that, you know, I aspired to as a young, they would always say, hey, boy, you got to do your own thing. You know, they weren't impressed when you did your solo and you knew note for note, you know, George Benson's solo and all that stuff. And these guys will look at you and they weren't impressed. They wanted to hear what you did. So that's what I and a lot of, you know, people, you know, in my whole, you know, demographic, that's what we were told, and that's what a lot of us tried to do.
Right,
but what happened was, by the time, you know, we reached an age of maturity, the landscape changed. All of a sudden, demographics entered the whole lexicon of the music business, and it was a curse to be versatile. So, you know, it hasn't been an easy thing. But I think, once again, maybe things are changing.
Yeah, yeah, and they certainly will for you, because the beauty of what's happening now is that these promoters, and honestly, there are promotion people who don't know what to do because they're not skilled in really being creative or thinking out of the box. That's the truth. Secondly, you know, you have come across a problem. You were mulling over what your stepfather must be thinking or feeling as he was telling you what he told you through those years. The fact of the matter is, and this is pretty heavy, but you're able to take it because you're that kind of guy. You have so much light inside of you that you are gonna piss people off, because the more talent that you have, the more positivity that's inside of you that draws people in, the more you intimidate people who shine a lot less. So keep that in mind. But now there's a scenario for you whereby the niche has to be opened up for you, because when this man who sees the potential in you puts you in a position where you're going to reach so many people, the whole game changes. Now, oh, well, it's Miche Fambro. So, you know what? We know what to do with him now. Don't worry about it. Everything that you have known in your life before this, it's all going to be different.
You know, speaking of that guy, there's actually a site and I don't have it. I should have written that. But it's Jones TV, just like it sounds.
Okay.
And up there, he posted a couple of videos of actually the party, of some of the performances at the party. And I thought if some of you were kind of curious as to, you know, who he is, what they're doing, you can – Jones TV, I hope I have that right. You know, it's worth a check because it's probably, you know, easy to find. But he posted a few videos of actually the night of that party, and boy, was that really something.
This was a couple of weeks ago or what?
I guess it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yep. And,
awesome.
Yeah, so there's like, it's on his site. There's also some things on, even on YouTube. The one thing that he did that actually, where he actually talked about the audience, it's a version of Night and Day that's on there, and that's very cool. It even has his dog in it, Jack, and his name is Tom Chase Jones. And I learned a lot out there. Not only about, you know, part of this was an introduction for us to get to know each other. But he's actually quite a musician, and he's quite a music he turned me on to this. There's like a music theory, which is called EIS, the Equal Interval System. You musicians out there, some of you might be familiar with this. It's a fascinating thing. It's like the secret society of music theorists. But the little bit that he's taught me has already opened me up musically with a lot of ideas. And usually a lot of composers embrace this because most jazz musicians usually think in terms of progressions, you know, 2-5-1, blah, blah, blah. And the EIS is a whole different thing. It has, you talk about thinking outside of the box. This is a whole different way of looking at things. I think Herbie Hancock is another one who has embraced this, whatever you want to call this. But it's fascinating. But this is to say that, you know, this guy, you know, Tom, you know, he's really, he's opened up my eyes to some pretty exciting things here.
Mm.
So it's going to be
he was waiting
here.
I swear to you, Miche, he was waiting for somebody like you.
Great. Well,
that's
I'm,
what it
I'm,
feels
I'm,
like.
Wow. Well, I tell you, I'm excited.
I am too. I am so blown away because I didn't know. That is crazy. Woo. So keep me posted on this because
I will.
Actually, if I find the link, I'll post it on my Facebook page because we got to work these 750 subscribers that I have. I just found out that Boz Skaggs is a subscriber to me today. How about that?
You're kidding me, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Now,
tell me, do you happen to know him? I mean, do you know him?
I guess he knows my name. I don't know him, but he knows people that I know. So, you're not really aware of the impact that you have. What is being done here with Hybrid Jazz is so significant because people are buzzing about the fact that this is overdue. We need to have global and domestic jazz and things that aren't necessarily perceived as jazz under the umbrella of hybrid. So that's causing some chatter.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that I really, really liked about your show when I listened to it. And I guess I can certainly tie this to the point I was trying to make when I was talking about promoters and how there was a time where things were, you know, a little bit more open, and then all of a sudden things got rigid. And I think radio is a good example of that. What I enjoyed listening to radio, you know, back when people had rocks in their hands, you know, the radio stations were a lot more diverse.
Yes.
And then, you know, all of a sudden demographics came. You know, you go to a station, it's either this, it's either that, and that became just. I just wasn't really into that. It just wasn't really fun. And then all of a sudden, and I'm listening to your show, and it was just so weird, you know, to go from listening to, you know, like a 70s, you know, real jazz thing to something totally, you know, different. That to me was refreshing. You know, it's almost like you're challenged. You're waiting to hear what's going to come next instead of you know what's going to come next. You're totally desensitized. There's no challenge whatsoever. And you know, I think if this is sort of if the landscape, if this is an indication that things are changing, and certainly there is your show, and I hear that there's probably, you know, maybe there's more shows like that than there used to be. You know, maybe there's hope for people who, you know, do fall outside of the box.
Absolutely. And you know what the bottom line of that is, Michelle, is that people in positions of power to be able to create shows are realizing that people who are listening or looking aren't stupid. That was the rule that changed everything. It used to be on radio stations that we used to listen to that the jocks would actually pick the music. Program directors, you know, had a certain say, but they respected the people who were on the air. Therefore, you had a whole lot of different kinds of music, and the person who was hosting the show would understand that there was a mix to be followed. You know what? Just mix it. So there wouldn't be any train wrecks. You know, make this a pretty cool transition, but play it all so that it makes sense. And now people are getting back to understanding that there's a whole lot that people can embrace. You know, we don't have to be dumbed down. We're not the stupid people that you thought we were to give us this pablum or this schlock that's on TV. Folks are getting the message. So we just keep speaking that into the universe, and more is going to happen like that.
So with you coming from the radio format world, and now you have, you know, your show here, which is open, I mean, was this like a crusade for you?
It has been, yeah. I mean, I kind of consider this to be a ministry to a certain extent because I want people like you and people who are regionally and locally based, names that you know, aren't necessarily household names yet, everybody needs to get a piece of that pie. If there was, and this is the vision, a 24-hour hybrid jazz radio station that's commercial, then there's room for endorsements. Then that gives way to mom-and-pop stores being open to sell music. Then that means you can go to do remote broadcasts, and those mom-and-pop stores get money. Venues open up, clubs open up. Hey, let's do it. Let's do it the old-fashioned way. Let's have a once-a-month thing whereby artists play at a club. Everybody comes to the club. You make new patrons. They stay. They become devoted. And then you ask people who come into the club, what do you like to hear? Who are your new favorites? What kind of instruments do you like to hear? Et cetera, et cetera.
I see. And Trisha, if I can ask you another question.
Oh, God, here we go. Look at you.
Here we go. Okay. On your Facebook page a while ago, there was a picture that you posted that was just a silhouette and of somebody. And I don't know if that was you or not. Do you know which photo I'm talking about? There was just a silhouette.
I do, and that was anonymous for a reason, and you're not going to get an answer to that.
Okay. You know, it almost looked like something you'd see like on one of those Big Mac trucks. You know, they got the mud flap girls.
Yes. Yes.
And I thought, what? I wonder if that's Trish. But okay, that's
people
anonymous, so that'd be
have it. You know, people ask that question, and you have to have some anonymity, Michelle. You know how that goes. You're a man of mystery yourself.
Okay. Well, cheers to whoever that is. Let me say that. Oh, yeah. Love that.
Yeah, it was a very cool shot. Very, very cool shot, yeah. And so here you are. When will you know the next step?
That's, I don't know. What I do know is that I'm going back in July, and And I would say that the one thing that, you know, the thing about this business and as we all know is things always change. The best intentions, you know, maybe things don't happen. But I have never really been around, you know, a person, a group of people, because, again, there's like a whole group of, you know, folks out there. That would be Tom that I mentioned and his crew that work. These are really good and determined people. I feel very confident as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really felt that in a long time, not since I've actually had like a band. And usually, you know, your early bands are your friends. You know, these are people that, you can depend on them, you know, until they start acting up and you break up. But here's a group of people that I really feel very confident that whatever it is that happens, if something doesn't happen, it will not be because we didn't really sit down and brainstorm and try to put something together. You know,
right.
We're at the mercy of networks that basically says, I think we'll have a market for that. So I feel that we are absolutely going to do what he says the reason why he asked me down there, I'm confident that he's going to do that. Everything else is in the hands of the networks. And that's good as far as I'm concerned.
It is. Especially if I don't know what the deal is. I used to know somebody that I used to date who was pretty big at NBC, and he said that it was driving him crazy that they wanted all these reality shows. Well, you know what? If you were to do, if you were Miche Fambro, everyday guy, every man, in a positive way, that might be an absolute hoot. To just follow you around and to go to these venues and see people's reactions to you?
Well, you know, now that you mention it, this is exactly – it's funny you should say that, because that's exactly what we're dealing with right now.
Really?
Yes, exactly. Because one of the initial ideas that had come up was basically I was going to be a host, you know, of a show. And anyway, it was one of those things where pretty much what you're competing against is the fact that what a lot of the networks want are, you know, this whole thing with reality shows, things
yeah.
that are quite dumbed down, stuff that appeals to, let me see, how do they, I forget the quote, but it wasn't very flattering. So anyway, that's what a lot of TV producers are kind of dealing with. But I basically said to Bob, look, you know, I can appeal to the trailer park. You know, I give me a pair of overalls. I'm ready. I can pick up truck, whatever. I'll think of something.
Oh, you know what?
And,
I see the scene of you behind barbed wire. I can see it.
You know, wow, you know, Miche and, you know, Hillbillies, Hillbubbas. I don't know. We'll think of something.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, you can't ever be stupid. That's the hilarity, because you're so intelligent, and to put you in scenarios where people don't necessarily understand you, that I mean, I would just roll on the floor laughing.
Well, I tell you, one of the things that I was totally not really prepared for in doing all this was. I have, you know, they had ideas, but I didn't know that they were interested in my ideas, you know. And so I basically started, you know, telling them, you know, some of the ideas that I've had, because you can tell in some of my videos, I was experimenting with just some of these silly things that, you know, I thought I would love to do. Boy, I wish I had a, you know, a technical crew, maybe a, you know, a couple of really good writers. And here I am talking to these guys, you know, sharing some of the ideas, and they're on the table.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. You know,
see?
So heaven knows what's going to come out of this, but I feel that something will. And, you know, so we'll see. We will see.
Yeah, they recognize that there is a comedian as well as a singer and a writer and a creative person. So, you know, it's like the second coming of Jim Stafford when they see you.
Is that the snake and...
Yes, spiders and snakes,
Yeah, spiders and snakes, yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's funny. I was thinking about him. And do you remember Robert Morse?
Yes.
Okay, because that's the guy. I looked him up on YouTube because that was a show that I used to watch. And I remember I enjoyed it, but, you know, it's like, whatever happened to Robert Morse?
And you are not going to believe this, because I'm going to go just so I can make sure that this is the truth. But it's so funny you should say his name, because whoever talks about him anymore, you know, because he used to be in that show, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. You remember that?
No, I just remember he had a talk show. I mean, a variety show.
Robert Morse did? M-O-R-S-E?
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a gap in his teeth, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's yeah, I remember he had a variety show.
You know what? Where was I? What years were this?
Oh, gosh, this would have had to have been through the 70s.
Okay.
Maybe I'm older than you, Trish.
No, honey, you are not. You are not older than me. Nobody is.
Okay.
I'm looking it up right now, and I'm going to tell you in a second if this is the case. But I just happened to see this today. I think that it's Robert Morse's birthday today.
Oh, my. No.
That's crazy.
That would be something.
Yeah. Because I just saw his name recently, and I thought, that's insane, because there's just too many coincidences. No, okay, I'm sorry. May 18th, that's when I saw his name.
May 18th, well, that's close enough.
Yeah. Robert Morse. Man, I haven't heard that in a dog's age. I think he's still with us.
Wow. Yeah, I tried to find him on YouTube, and I couldn't. And got to thinking about him because, you know, again, that was something that I really enjoyed as a kid. And that was all I remembered.
Wow.
Yeah.
You do remind me of those times looking at the Glenn Campbell TV show and the Smothers Brothers when they had their TV show.
Oh, yeah.
You have all of that in place, ready to go. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring my friend Robert Yacko, who is an actor in Hollywood who's got ties to New York and has been acting since Temple University days. He needs to know about you because he knows some people. And honestly, if one thing doesn't work out, Miche, another one will in this regard, in your regard. It will.
Okay. That's great to hear.
Yeah. You're on your way. You are.
Thank you, Trish.
You're welcome. And tough if you're not ready, because somebody's going to give you a kick in the pants to make you ready. And the world is going to be really enlightened because you have just the spirit about you that people need to have. You have something so special about you that people, and this is a little deep, but there's a little healing that you have inside of you that makes people feel better when they go away after seeing you.
Fascinating.
You do. And I'm just going to stop right there.
Well, that's good because I tell you, I'm right in front of the Beer of the World.
Yes.
Beers of the World. And I think I'm definitely going to go in there and get me something to drink after this. I'm telling you that now, Trish.
Okay. And, well, I think you need it. I think you need it, and keep us informed. I know I've stayed over like 15 minutes or so with you, but you're ready for the beer now, and your phone just was a charm the entire time we were on the show. That's great.
Trish, I'm grateful, and, you know, well, thank you so much, really. And I just want to say that the great thing I love, I keep going back to this whole age thing, and that is, and one of the many perks of that is you know how to take nice things, you know how to take compliments,
yes.
And you appreciate them because you recognize that You don't have to have whatever it is that you have. So, no, I'm not funny about it. I'm just grateful, and I'm so appreciative. And I am going to have that drink.
And that could be the great name for the show. And I am going to have that drink.
I am going to have that drink. That's what I said.
Well, I'm going to leave you, and I'm going to play There's a Place, because I think that would be a neat way to end the show.
Okay.
So you go about your business and don't hurt yourself. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
You too. All right, he's off to have his beer, and you know what? Talk amongst yourselves. You might be wanting one yourself. So, Miche Fambro, I'm so glad that he spent all this time with us. That's so cool. And us, I mean us, because it's a very cool chat room today, especially for Miche. So thank you, everybody who's been here. We're going to go to the top of the hour and play some more music. And by golly, Miche gets his third song. This is from that Camus project. You have to sit back and listen to this song. There's a Place. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. So now you know why she won a Grammy, huh? Terry Lynn Carrington and Company from Mosaic Project. That's Mosaic Triad. There is some heavy-duty musicianship on that CD. Oh, my God. Proof is in the pudding. If you want to see one of the coolest websites ever, go to terrylynncarrington.com. And here's a specific way to spell that. Terrylyne, not two N's, Lyne, Carrington.com. It's going to take you through a little journey. It is the coolest website ever. I can't wait. I'm telling you what. Terry Lynn is going to be at the Playboy Jazz Festival with the Mosaic Project. And, you know, just like Jazz and Pink, the personnel changes a little bit from place to place. Then Terry Lynn, there's a lot of dates in between, but she's going to be at the Martha's Vineyard Jazz Festival in August. And that looks first rate. If you want to go see the lineup there, and we're just about to play another artist that's going to be there as well, go to, is it www.mvjazz.com. See if that's the right link to use. But, man, Terry Lynn Carrington has been nonstop since this Grammy win. And you might well imagine the folks that she's had on Mosaic Project, especially Esperanza Spalding and Gretchen Parlato. Exploding would be the proper term to use in this regard. So I think that it's paving the way, and you probably are getting an inkling of this too, for more and more female musicians to come forth and be even more fearless than they have been, because these women are getting a lot of successes, as they should, because some of these gals have been in the trenches for a long time. Oh, it's so wonderful to see. We heard Fats Waller. Yeah, his birthday, the remembrance of his birthday was yesterday, 5/21/1904 to 12/15/1943. Died far too young at the age of 39. And you talk about a larger-than-life character. Didn't you know that I thought of Miché Fambro and Fats Waller in the same breath? Fats was the son of a preacher man, just like the song. He was so popular in the time that he walked among us. Jazz pianist, organist, vocalist, composer, comedy, like you wouldn't believe. If you are on Facebook, you have to go to my page and see him do this song that is just wild. There are a couple of stories about him. Well, there's a thousand stories about Fats Waller, but this really happened in 1926. He was so popular, and you know that it wasn't even called Jim Crow at that time. It was just a fact of life that blacks and whites were not together, only if there was certain ways for them to coexist. It was just crazy. I can't imagine what it must have been like. But at one point, Fats Waller was kidnapped at gunpoint, put into a car. He was, of course, shaken in his shoes. He was taken to one of these places in Chicago where nobody really discusses. And what it was a party for Al Capone. And he was happy that nobody gunned him down. They wanted him to play. He played for 3 days. He got thousands of dollars from all these gangsters, the mob that was in Chicago. By the time he stumbled out of that place, he was tired, he was drunk, he just wanted to lay down. But that was more money than he could have ever dreamed of. Isn't that nuts? And then, this story always kills me. Fats was an overweight man, and I'm not sure how much this affected him, but he was really, really tired. And, of course, the mode of travel was train. Fats was on a train. He contracted pneumonia, and he died on a cross-country train near Kansas City. Now, when he passed on the train, word spread quickly through the other train cars, and then on the trains that were coming into the depot that were also heading west. Fats was on his way back to Hollywood. And on one of those trains heading west was Louis Armstrong. He and Fats were so close. When Louis heard that Fats had passed, he was inconsolable. He cried for hours. I'll always think about that. And, you know, I was thinking about how beautiful that whole story would be, the whole Fats Waller story. And we were talking in the chat room about Miché Fambro being a throwback to what was great during that time. It would just be so cool. If you see a picture of Miché, you understand what I mean. He fits in that time so well. I could just see him acting one of these parts. Oh, my God. It's just so beautiful. And we heard Miché at the top doing a song from this Camus project, There's a Place. He is just crazy talented, and we're just so glad he spent some time with us, honest to goodness. Another cat that you cannot put into a category because nobody else does what he does to the extent that he does is Frédéric Yanet, who was on the show months ago, one of our first guests. And he also is going to be at the Martha's Vineyard Jazz Festival, and he's also going to be at Summer Solstice coming up in early June. I want to get on the horn and see if we can get him back. He was supposed to be on Cool Jazz Conversations last night. That's a whole other story entirely, and it will be saved for another time. There was some technical issues again last night, but this cat on harmonica, Paris-born, so talented that Dave Chappelle and Stevie Wonder himself have taken notice. You haven't heard him do this song, though, from his CD, Front and Center. It seems to be appropriate to play at this point in time, to play Time After Time by Frédéric Yanet on his harmonica. Thank you.
driving yourself half crazy. The pressure you're feeling. Everybody wants a piece of you. Keep giving and giving, but you ain't been doing no living. Such a shame you're sexy, but you let yourself forget it, mama. Throw your hands in the sky. Don't know how those bills got so high. Please do this for me.
Be plenty of that tonight. Yes, the letting of the hair down and the shaking of the, fill in the blank there. Okay. Eric Scott from the brand new Where the Water Runs Deepest. That's Mama Let Your Hair Down. He's going to be at Ram's Head in Annapolis tonight. A big CD release party. Oh my God. When last I checked, there was a few seats shy of it being sold out. I know everybody at Ram's Head is so happy to hear about that. You want to hear more? If you are able to go, you might want to check to see if you can get in. EricScottMusic.com has more information. Man, he is something else. He really, really is. And I'm just hoping that things are going to all work out. Now, keep our friend Ann in your thoughts and prayers, because she wrote to Allison and I last night. Ann is the one who got the tickets. Major fan of Eric's, and she was going to go see her doctor today. So depending on what the doctor said, she might not go tonight. So she has me a little concerned, and I know that Eric would be concerned as well. So keep her in your thoughts. She had a little situation with her heart a couple of months ago, and we don't like to hear this kind of stuff because Annie just turned 40, and it just doesn't seem to matter these days, does it? It doesn't. Yeah, we need to keep Al Jarreau in prayer. We need to keep Ann in prayer. We need to make sure all the folks who need to get attention do. And we need to make sure that we take care of one another a little bit better than we have, because we've been doing a pretty lousy job recently. So there's Eric Scott right there. And we heard Frederic Yanné, if you want to be really specific, time after time. I know that Cyndi Lauper would love that version if she heard it. Fred Yanné, YONNET.com has more information. He is just doing such unbelievable things, and I think that he's going to be playing. I shouldn't even say it. I'm not going to say it, but for sure, at Martha's Vineyard Jazz Festival, and it's summer solstice. And this is going to be monumental. If you are on Facebook, please look that up. This is an Alvin Keels production. Our Anita King is going to open things up. That will be on, I believe, the 15th of June. And Nicole Leone is going to be there, Marion Meadows, Fred Yanné, the kinds of folks that you don't normally see at the usual contemporary jazz festivals. There's going to be a different flavor, and it's going to be all weekend long. So summer solstice is what it's called. And Michelle Fambro, I just got a little tongue twisted because it's been a long show, and we were talking a lot to Michelle. Mr. Fambro has some good news that he told us all about, and we are going to really be praying real hard that all of this comes to pass. If this does, it will change his world considerably, and those of us who know and love him. So keep a good thought in mind. Remember that on June the 11th, and then, June the 12th and 14th, and then the next Tuesday and Thursday after that, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy will be on from 5 to 8 p.m. And that's because I'm going to make sure that I accommodate my son, who's got a very special program going on for 2 weeks. So that will be the 12th and 14th, and whatever comes that next week on a Tuesday and Thursday. So just for 2 weeks, and then all will be back to normal, whatever that is. Have a wonderful Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll see you on Thursday. Earl Carter, Supreme guitarist, who has a fascinating life, is going to be with us. And I believe that Jerry B. is going to stop by and hang out. So that means we'll get to hear some brand new tracks from artists who have been around or first-time artists. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll celebrate Memorial Day a little bit, too. Make sure we honor folks who need to get that honor. Thanks so much to Matt, to Beach, Griselda, Wendy, all the folks who stopped by today listening to Michelle Fambro. We appreciate you. God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday.